Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of this teaching called The Language of Exile. By the book we're reading by Ralph Messer here, and we uploaded part one yesterday. If you didn't hear that, you can go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and see that. But we are going to continue with this important topic, and we learned in the previous teaching, part one of this teaching, about the lost tribes of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel, and also about the tribe of Judah, the southern part. And then the combination of two, the house of Jacob. And we understood, or we got an explanation of why the language has been lost. And we're going to see some more scriptures about the principles that are important to understand the voice of these principles as found in Torah. The guidelines and the instructions that go along with Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, the one you call Jesus. And then we're going to look at some common terms today that have been forgotten, that need to be restored for us to get an understanding about the Torah and its concepts and everything it's given us. So in John 14, 16 to 17, it says, "And I will pray the Father to the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth," and in parentheses, we could put the voice of principles or the Torah, "whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he dwells within you, and he will be in you." And Acts 1 verse 2 says, "All that Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, the voice of the principles, the instructions of the Torah, had given a commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen." Acts 20 to 28 continues talking about this. And remember, this is Paul in the renewed covenant talking about the principles that are found in the instructions of the Torah. It says in Acts 20, 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit," although that voice of principles, "has made you overseers to shepherd the church of Yahweh when he purchased you with his blood." Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised from Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit." That voice of the principles who dwells in you. You see, this has been taken out and lost throughout these years, and now it's being restored. Romans 8:14 says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, that voice of principle, these are the sons of Yahweh. Ephesians 1:7 says that the Elohim of our Lord Yeshua Messiah, the God of our Lord Yeshua, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's that voice of the principles found in the instructions of the Torah, in knowledge in him. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit," that the voice of principles, "who is from Yahweh, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by Yahweh." And then it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are a temple of Yahweh and the spirit of Yahweh," that voice of principles that dwells in you? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the spirit, and the spirit of the Lord," that voice of principles, "is, there is liberty." I'm going to give you two more. 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. "Hold fast to the pattern and sound ways which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Yeshua Messiah, that good thing which was committed to you by kept by the Holy Spirit," that voice of principles who dwells in you. And then Revelations 22, 17 says, "And the Spirit, the voice of principles, and the bride come, and let him who hears come, and let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let the water of life, let them take the water of life freely. And the chapter goes on to say, the Holy Spirit interceding for you continuously. Your life is continuously covered with a prayer and intercession. You may feel alone. You may feel isolated. You may be even have tormenting thoughts that nobody really cares for you at all. In his reality, the exact opposite is occurring. When you are participating in the principles of the Torah, you will begin to hear the voice of the principles. The Holy Spirit, Yahshua, continuously talks to you about your needs and desires. While you are asleep, Yeshua watches over you. While you work, Yeshua prays for you. You truly are his special treasure, as found in Exodus 19. The reclaimed of Yahweh's Psalms 107, and the apple of his eye is in Zechariah 2. For Yahweh's portion of his people, Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Found in him in a desert land, in a wasteland of howling wilderness, he encircled him, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. Deuteronomy 32, 9 to 10. And then Proverbs 3, 13 to 18. Remember this. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom, which is Torah, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain finer than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honors. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all the paths of peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are those who retain her. Proverbs 3, 13 to 18. In the scriptures, the word Torah is synonymous with the word wisdom and also with the expression tree of life. Therefore, the Torah is not only teaching and instruction. Torah represents life itself. The Torah scroll is a visual demonstration of what Yahweh has already written on your heart and placed in your mind according to the new covenant. In other words, Yahweh takes the words written in the Torah scroll and makes them come alive to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Tanakh, the Old Testament, uses several different words referring to Yahweh's instruction for his people. The most commonly used are law, decrees, statutes, judgments, ordinances, commands, and testimonials or testimonies. The majority of ministries today, and therefore their congregations, also view the Torah as law rather than the teaching. They are generally innocent of this because we have failed to teach and disciple them in the Torah. When you look at the list of English words, law, command, decrees, judgments, ordinances, statutes, and testimonies, are you going to sense a certain hardness in translation? But if I translate these words back to the original Hebrew, they become words, Torah, klukim, mitzvim, and mitzvah. So first we look at the law, and in parentheses, Torah. If I say the word law in English, you may think highway patrolman pulling you over and writing you a ticket. You hear law and you naturally think legalism. In the Hebraic mindset, Torah is not law. As per Western Greek understanding of the word, Torah is teaching, instruction, guidance, and direction leading to life. Torah is designed for his holy and redeemed people. And then we look at decrees and statutes. And in parentheses, we have klukim. The Hebrew word klukim means image, a lasting impression, or to take upon the image of Yahweh. The 613 principles of the Torah are not intended as harsh, rigid decrees or statutes of law. They should be viewed as the life-giving principles which reflect the image, the nature, and character of Yahweh. Klukim should create a lasting generational impression for us and our descendants, an impression that reflects the glory of the divine nature imparted within us. And then there's judgments and ordinances. Mitpatim. Mitpatim actually refers to deliverer or deliverance. Converting the Hebrew word from the action love language foundation to an exacting non-based language base creates a certain hardness to our ears. If I come to judge you, it gives the immediate connotation that you are guilty of something. Many people live with an ambiguous feeling of guilt and shame, when in fact they are actually living in fear. Fear is not the absence of the presence of Yahweh, for he is always with us and is surrounding us. Fear is the absence of the presence of Yahweh's principles and directions. What is Torah? It is the very direction, teaching, needed guidance for your life. The Torah written on your heart and mind already has an instruction embedded within you. When the Holy Spirit embodies and empowers that instruction, it leads to deliverance. Mitzvatim, never judgment. And then we have commands and testimonials. In parentheses, we have mitzvah. A more accurate English translation of the Hebrew word mitzvah is deeds, good works, or works of righteousness. The category of Yahweh's instructions in the Torah intimately associated with the action words, compassion, charity, and almsgiving. This draws upon the empathetic reaches of our hearts as fellow human beings to care for and share with one another. Laws, decrees, judgments, testimonials are legal terms that illustrate the difference between Yahweh's covenant law and man's law. In man's law, one relies upon a precedent and statute, i.e. a case law. The words teaching, image, deliverance, and deeds are words term that are associated with and indecisive of the covenant law. As believers in Yeshua, you are a covenant relationship with Yahweh. You are in. You don't have to try to earn his great salvation through your own works. You are not trying to appease some pagan god. In Yeshua, you are no longer under the law of a consequence of sin and death, Romans 8:2. You do not have to be in pursuit of Yahweh. He is in pursuit of you. When you find those legal words in the scriptures, such as law, statutes, decrees, and testimonials, appearing in a translation, you can restore their original intended prime meaning by substituting the original Hebrew words and their level of meanings back into the biblical text. The following examples compare several English translations side by side with the original Hebrew understanding. Number one, we look at law or the Torah, teaching, instructions, and guidance. It says in the scriptures in Psalms 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law, your Torah, is within my heart. And then we look at this translation of it that says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your teaching, your Torah, is within my heart. So the author here is showing you the difference and the lovingness versus the hardness of it. Psalms 94:12, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, your Torah. And the translation would be, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your guidance. Use that, out of your guidance. Psalms 119:34, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding and I shall keep your instruction. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So these are some examples of where the word law can be transposed with something less harsh, such as instruction. And then we look at decrees, statutes, the chukim, the image lasting impression, image of Yahweh. In Micah 7:11, it says, in a day when your walls are to be built, in that day, the decree shall go far and wide. And a better way to say it in the original Hebrew mindset would be, in the day when your walls are built, in that day the image of Yahweh, the chukim, should go far and wide. Psalms 105, 9 to 10, we read the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. A more less harsh way to say it would be, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed to Jacob for a lasting impression to Israel as an everlasting covenant. I like not using these legal terms and using the correct translation of these things. Judgments, ordinances, Yahweh's deliverance and delivering. It says in Isaiah 26, 9, for when your judgments, your mitzvahim, are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Now, the better translation, see, for when your deliverers are in the earth, your inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And then we look at Revelation 15, verse 4. For all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Verses. For all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your deliverers have been manifested. And then we look at commands, testimonials, deeds, works of righteousness. You shall diligently keep the commandments of your Lord, your God, his testimonials and his statutes, which he has commanded. Verses, you shall diligently keep the commandment of Yahweh, your Elohim, his deeds and his statutes, which he has commanded. That was Deuteronomy 6:17. And then finally, and the previous one was Revelation 15:4, if I didn't mention it. And then finally, Psalms 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And to such as to keep his covenant and his testimonials, as opposed to all the paths of Yahweh are mercy and truth. To such keep his covenant and his works of righteousness, his mitzvah. Hallelujah. Translation. The result of misinterpreting biblical concepts in Hebrew expressions from a Greek mindset have been disastrous for both Christianity and Judaism. Much of this has happened because the Bible is a Middle Eastern book that we have read from a Western culture perspective. This is a serious matter. Restoring the rich foundational Hebrew mindset of the spirit of life found within the Torah, while endeavoring to remove the judgmental negative Greek mindset of law that still permeates the church today. This does not mean that I am an adversary against a traditional church in any way. I teach in churches all the time. The message I am bringing, although an uncommon teaching to most, will not frustrate you. However, it will separate you out from the ordinary into the extraordinary, causing your life to have gain and increase and to truly prosper as your soul prospers. It says in James 1:21-25, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness an implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and it is not forgetful, hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Within the Torah are Yahweh's principles that cause you to prosper spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. The main reason why so many believers today have lost their fire for Yahweh is because they are frustrated. Why are they frustrated? Because they are not walking in Yahweh's purpose for their lives and what measure contains the instructions and guidance for knowing Yahweh's purpose for your life, the Torah. Yahweh is a God of order and not of chaos. The Torah is a book of order, and order is the accurate arrangement of all things. Yahweh is returning you to walking in the Torah in order to remove those things which are inaccurately arranged in your life. The Torah is the light, or in the midst of your darkness. By the Torah, Yahweh removes your chaos and brings you back into order. Yahweh has definite purpose for your life, and the purpose is the very message that the people of the church seem to be striving for, or starving for. Because of the present-day misunderstanding surrounding what should be the accurate application of Torah and its role in the life of believers today, Paul is often accused of forsaking or teaching against the Torah, and even starting a new religion called Christianity. While traditional and biblical texts conclusively prove otherwise, we can also definitely affirm that Paul was not a Christian in a Western sense, nor did he ever become one. Paul was a Torah-observant Jewish person. Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." The word end in Greek is telos, and it is more properly translated as goal. Christ is the telos, the goal of the law. Paul is not saying that the Torah has ended. Paul is saying that the Torah points people to Yeshua, the ultimate goal of the Torah. Paul also spoke of different kinds of law, which can be heard and distinguished between, because the same Greek word, nemos, is used in each reference and translated into English as law without any distinction. What was the faith of Paul? It was the Torah. Remember, Paul is writing to those who were raised in the study of the Torah and who already understood it as teaching, not legalism. When you have read your Bible, you may have a hard time discerning the crucial difference between the law of sin and death and the law of Yeshua the Messiah. You must be able to understand which law in the scriptures are talking about. First century believers were asking the same questions, which is why in Romans 3 they came to Paul and questioned him. Has the Torah been done away with? Paul answered, "Heaven forbid." Yahweh has terminated the sin and death consequence, but not his holy law, the Torah. Since Paul's writings do not make clear distinction between the holy law of Yahweh and the law of sin and death, it is easy to get confused and think that Paul is writing negatively about the Torah. When Paul seemingly criticized the Torah, he is really writing against its misuse and those who would use it as a legalistic system of rules and regulations. Erroneously believing that one must keep it in order to be saved. Phrases such as "under the law," "works of the law," or "curse of the law" refer to this misuse or perversion of the law. Paul also speaks against certain group of Jewish believers called Judaizers, who taught that the Gentiles had to keep the Torah as a requirement for salvation. And then we end here in Romans 8, chapter 2. Romans 8, chapter 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death." So this is the understanding that we must grasp. We must get to know the importance of this and why it's saying what it's saying in this, and what the Bible is truly saying. We have to get this concept. Law and grace go hand in hand. They're not one or the other. They're not two opposites. And the goal of Scripture was to understand that the Torah was given to us when Yeshua died for us as an instruction guide of how to live our lives, how to make it right, to not keep living the way the world lives. Yes, Yeshua came to die for us and take away the penalty of sin, the death penalty of sin. But he didn't leave us to go out there and wander in the world and figure out what to do and how to live. He gave us instructions written down, passed through Moses, for us to live by. And by the church falsely teaching
that we no longer need to follow those things. It's saying there's no such thing as sin and you can do whatever you want. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Because that is not what Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, taught. He taught directly from the Torah. And the Torah being the foundation of all scripture, and understanding the Torah creates that foundation for everything on top of it. And if you walk with Yeshua, you want it to be strong, you have to have a good foundation. If you don't have a good foundation and the understanding of Torah, your walk with Yeshua is going to be weak. If you have a good understanding of the foundation of Torah, it'll be strong. This is why Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, is known as the living Torah. As we read the mistranslations of the language in these just two parts of these last two messages, the language of exile, I can't talk even more about it and the emphasis on people misunderstanding the instructions of our Creator and replacing the guidelines and instructions with how Yeshua wanted us to live. Understand when it says in the scriptures, all scripture is profitable for man. All scripture is profitable for man. Do you know when that was written, there was no such thing as the New Testament? They were talking about the Torah. The Torah. When the disciples got up, when Yeshua got up every week to teach in the synagogue to, yes, the Jewish people, and Paul got up to teach all the Gentiles, what were they teaching from? The Torah. They're the foundational, the instructions, the guidelines. Do not throw away the instructions if you want to have an easy time. Yeshua said, my yoke is easy, with the implication of living this life that he's given us through the grace and the mercy. Praise our wonderful Creator. Yes, many Christian churches today, most Christian churches today, have a terrible understanding of this because of the mistranslations of their scripture. And I pray after reading this that you'll have a better understanding of what it means in scripture when we use the more accurate translation of these words. Thank you for listening today, everybody. I pray that you continue to study this chapter out and listen to these messages. Remember, you can go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and hear more and learn more about the correct translation of Scripture and the correct application of it and how it was meant to bless our lives and not hinder our lives. Have a blessed day, everybody. Thanks for listening, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 3341. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth saving, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I